The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. And Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two or three agree on earth, come together about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst." The Gospel of the Lord. Now, while I have your attention, we have one announcement, and I'd like to make it now because it's my impression that after the homily, many of you have to leave on a mission of great importance, so we have fewer people after the homily. So while I have your attention, I want to remind you that after Mass today, because of the heat, we will not have the sharing of the Eucharist as we do every Sunday in the parking lot. So not today because of the excessive heat. This gospel reading, which comes from the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, has an extraordinary teaching for us, and I think it is very important in our contemporary ecclesiology and in our experience of the church. So let me look at this for you. The process described in this gospel reading today about reconciliation was a canonical protocol that was exercised in the Church of Matthew. This story about reconciliation is not found in the other three Gospels. It belongs only to Matthew, and it had significance in the Church of Matthew to reconcile somebody who was divided from the community. It was a manner in which they exercised some outreach for reconciliation. Now, if you go over to the Gospel of John, look at chapter 13 in the Gospel of John at the Last Supper. The manner of reconciliation in the community of John was quite different. In the Gospel of John, the reconciliation happens when Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. He washes the feet of the sinners. And then he tells them, "As I have done, so you must do." And that's the manner in the Church of John when he speaks of reconciliation. I once asked Raymond Brown, this Johannine scholar, why is it that only in the Gospel of John you have the washing of the feet? And he surmised that there was tension and division in the Church of John. And Jesus' teaching is, before you can receive the Eucharist at the Last Supper, you must first wash one another's feet. This is the act of reconciliation and repentance in the Gospel of John. But back here, it's different in the Church of Matthew. The second thing to understand this is that In chapter 16, verse 17, in the Gospel of Matthew, I'm saying these things for those of you who are doing Bible study. Go back and look at chapter 16 in the Gospel of Matthew in verse 17. You will remember this. We had our gospel reading maybe two or three weeks ago on this very theme. And here Jesus says to Peter, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So clearly, it was an empowerment given to Peter, the power of the keys to bind and to loose. It was not given to the others, it was given to Peter. And that's what we call today the magisterium, the teaching power of the Pope in union with the bishops. We call this the teaching of the church, the magisterium. Chapter 18, today's gospel, gives us the impression that it's not the leader of the community, it's the community itself that gathers to evaluate a conflict and to seek reconciliation. And to the community, in today's gospel, it is said, "Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Where two or three of you are gathered in my name, I am there with you." So these are two complementary disciplines that are very important to us in the present age. One is the teaching authority of the church, and the other is what we call sensus fidelium, the sense of the people of God, the mind, the heart of the people who gather in faith. We have two complementary voices, one the magisterium, and the other the sensus fidelium, the sense of the people. One to inform, one to belong, one to enrich the other, but not apart. So let me look at this in the history of the church. In 1522, St. Ignatius formed what we call the spiritual exercises of Ignatius. They were the beginnings of the Jesuit order or society, as we call it today. In 1534, Ignatius and five companions in Paris on Montmartre took their first vows, following a retreat in the exercises which Ignatius had shaped. But added to it were various rules, and they are still in the 30-day retreat. The exercises are a retreat that typically begins on June 30th and finishes July 31st, the Feast of Ignatius. It's a long and transformative spiritual journey. But in the last part of the exercises, Ignatius adds rules. He said, rules for discernment, rules for eating, and lastly, rules for thinking with the church. And now, in 1534, Ignatius is very rigid about following the magisterium of the church. Whatever the Pope teaches, whatever the church teaches, you do not question. That was Ignatius in 1534. Now, the environment, the historical environment, influences very much our ecclesiology, because at that time, we were in the emerging Reformation, and the church, the institution of the church, was in very, very bad spiritual condition. And therefore, the notion of orthodoxy and the rigidity of orthodoxy was an effort to try to reclaim the identity and integrity of the church. Now, that will come later while Ignatius is still alive. In 1545, you have the Council of Trent, a council that was a defensive council to try to redeem the church in this whole tension of Reformation. So what does this mean to us? Rules for thinking with the church. Well, the Jesuit Pope Francis says, in the present age, rules for thinking the church are not just the magisterium, they also are the sensus fidelium. You must listen to the people of God. Your discernment will come not just from listening to the magisterium of the church, but listening to the people of God. And these two disciplines, in terms of understanding the church, the teaching church, must complement one another. One must not dismiss the other. They must somehow find a companionship in order to teach the people of God the true meaning of church and Scripture. What does this mean to us today? The first 20 years of my priesthood, more or less, I spent in administration in the Archdiocese. I wasn't involved in a parish. I was involved in overseeing and administering and kind of an executive style of priestly life. I was very attached to the magisterium because I was institutional in my thinking. The focus and the lens of my thinking was canonical. That's where I was at the time. Then I came to Holy Family. And I met a community of faith-filled, radiant. We had our Christmas celebrations in song and in glory, the sharing of faith, the collecting of a people that made the church come alive in great celebration. We had our Easter, where we baptize and receive people into the community of faith. The resurrection of Jesus Christ calling us to new life. It's wonderful. Then we have the sacraments. We had the mystery and the beauty of life in the baptism of a child, in the celebration of matrimony, the gift of love between two people, and the sacraments of the sick to console and to renew those who are seriously ill. We had experiences of pain and suffering, of death, all sorts of conflict. That was the heart, the mind of the church. That's the sensus fidelium. That's what I experienced in a personal way. But I also experienced the pain of the church. In my early days here, we went through the clerical abuse, which was a deep wound in my life. I went through the pain of a painful church, a sinful church, a broken church. And the people of God spoke, and the people of God demanded, and that was the voice of God speaking through the people. I met people going through great trauma in their lives. People in second marriages got the impression they weren't welcome. The pain of the people of God. I met women in post-abortion anxiety and trauma who got the impression they were excommunicated. The pain of the people of God. These are the people of God. LGBTQ people who were rejected by their families and frequently judged and rejected by the church. The people of God. I felt their pain, their isolation, the judgment made upon them. the sensus fidelium. God spoke to me. Families in conflict, parents in conflict, and the children suffering. That's real life. The sensus fidelium, somehow, the struggles that people have. I met a number of families overwhelmed with fear, where the father of the family was undocumented, and they're living with fear that ICE enforcement will break up the family. That's the sensus fidelium. That's the people of God. God speaks through people like that. I mean, young people were caught in a cycle of struggling and searching, sometimes overwhelmed by anxiety, gave up on the church, and yet they are the church. God spoke to me through them. So God speaks through the sensus fidelium, not just the magisterium of the church, but that enlightened. I met women who are seeking proper recognition in the leadership of the church. The sensus fidelium, that's real. All of this is there in the pews. It belongs to every one of you who are listening to me somehow. You belong to the movement of the Holy Spirit in a people, and somehow to find a gracious nexus between the magisterium and the sensus fidelium. That's what appears in today's gospel. It's the sense of the people. God, two or three gathered in my name, whoever you are, and whatever your condition, two or three gathered in my name to struggle, to search, to seek, I am with you. How to sanctify the hopes and the dreams, the yearning and the pain of the people of God. That's what this gospel is about. It's your pain, your struggle, your great faith, the strength of who you are in discipleship. That's all God's presence in the heart and the soul of the people of God. That's what I meant when I came to Holy Family. I discovered in a new way, not just the magisterium. Yes, very important, but also the sensus fidelium, the hearts, the souls, the rejoicing, the wonder of people in faith, and the pains and the struggles and the searching and the doubting of the people of God. Wow. And God is present in you. Let me give you one example. We have this song at Holy Family, of course, all are welcome, and we think we're very open and everything. We're marvelous. You know, people say, this is a wonderful thing. We're open to everybody. Well, thinking about that, we brought that song in, I don't know, 25 years, 30 years ago or something. And we said, this will express the soul of Holy Family. Sometime thereafter, this couple came to see me. And they said, we've gone to two other parishes, but when we begin to tell our story, the priest says, stop, I don't want to hear anymore. We want to get married. So we showed up at Holy Family, and they came to see me. And they sat in my office in the old rectory. And the young lady, I'll call her Mary, that's not her real name. Mary said, I'm 26 years old. I'm an only child. My family are devout Catholics. I am a devout Catholic. I want to marry this man. I'll call him Bill. I want to marry Bill. I love him. I want to marry him. But it's very important that I get married in the church. It's very important to me. Okay. I promise you I'll listen to you. So, okay, fine. So then Bill says, Monsignor, I have no religion. I don't care about religion. I love this woman. I want to marry her. She's the love of my life. I'm 46 years old. And I was married before. I said, okay, fine. He said, I was married more than once before. Okay. I was married 6 times. Well, I'm sure that's where the priest said, stop. I don't want to hear anymore. But since I promised to listen to you, I will listen. Now, you might laugh at this, but these are real people. They have hurts. They're struggling. They're searching. They're real people. And when they tell their story, they're vulnerable. They're broken people looking for a place that might begin to understand them. And he says, look, Father, I don't even hardly remember some of the names. I lived in Vegas, and I was drunk one night, and I met this woman, and we just got married. He said, I was crazy. And he keeps saying to me, Father, don't you think a man can change? And I said, I do. Every 2 or 3 minutes, he said, don't you think a man can change? And I'd say, yes, I think a man can change. So they're God's people now. I have to listen to them. He said, will you help us? I said, yes, I will help you. But what do we have to do? I said, I want you to go for marriage counseling for 3 months. Are you willing to do that? And they said, we are, but we can't. Okay. He said, we don't have a dime. We live in one room over in Monterey Park, and we don't have any money. We can't afford that. And I said, okay. The parish will pay because you are important. Didn't cost us a lot because the counselor was a parishioner. Okay, fine. So parish will pay. Because you are important, we'll pay for your counseling. Oh, well, if you pay, we'll go. And so they did. And this began their faith journey at Holy Family. Listen to God speaking through God's people. Struggling, searching, doubting. God's people sometimes filled with faith and wonder and radiant, the depths that send people. I've seen it. The depth of Holy Family reaching out all the way to Haiti to say, you belong to us. That's the people of God. Didn't come from the magisterium of the church. It came from the sense of faith in the people of God. A giving bank that feeds people every week didn't come from the magisterium. It came from the people of God. So, I was given the privilege of belonging to Holy Family. To sense, to feel the wonder and the beauty of God's people dreaming, hoping, praying, searching, and in God's good providence, we hope, finding.